Amen. We are grateful to God for another opportunity to meet in His presence. We're here, obviously, for a sad occasion because the loss of life is sad. No matter what we know remains beyond it, the sting is in the loss. And so, therefore, we come to the Blair family and all of those who are gathered in honor of this brother who has lived and the Lord has called home. We share our sympathies with you and our condolences. It's interesting, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had the privilege of sitting down with the three of the four sisters and speaking of this very event in this moment and recognizing all that is entailed within it. The word eulogy is actually a combination word. It's derived from Greek, basically meaning the prefix eu, E-U, means good. And L-O-G-Y, taken from logos, which means word, it means to speak a good word. And what I want to do is first speak a good word about Brother Blair. I had the privilege of knowing him these past 5 years. And one of the things that stood out to me is that from the moment I met him, he gave me the honor and the respect of being his pastor. He was older than my grandfather. He'd been in the church much longer than I had been here. But he never deferred. He never disrespected. I didn't have to earn the respect of being pastor because he was obedient to the Lord and recognized that from day one. You know, a lot of times people sit back, well, he has to earn my, even though God doesn't say honor as people earn, he says those who are in position. And so the thing that stood out to me was from day one, Brother Blair respected and honored the office. And I knew it had nothing to do with me, but he honored the office, and that made him affectionate towards me, and I appreciated that. And there are those, we meet with my wife and I every Sunday, go to the door because we're still trying to meet faces and make ourselves accessible. You don't have a chance to always greet and meet everyone. And there are those who have strong, healthy legs, and in 5 years have yet to come back and shake our hand at the door. Brother Blair, when he was here, he didn't leave the building without going through that door and greeting us. And that means a great deal. And I remember a couple of weeks just before his last time he was here in church, whoever it was that brought him, he was moving a little slower. And they came over to me as we're standing at the door. They said, you know, he said he's not leaving until he meets or until he speaks to his pastor. And so, you know, he could cut the line. That's good. I respect that. I respect that. He was genuine in his love for the Lord, and that was expressed in his honor of office. And I respect that. But Brother Blair also, when he couldn't make it, I'd be in the office sometimes and come out, and one of the daughters would come in, Daddy sending his tithes. When he wasn't here, the church was never out of his mind. And so we appreciate the privilege of serving a sheep who loves the great shepherd and therefore understands the fold. And I have great respect for him in that regard. And Brother Blair was also faithful, as it's been pointed out, in coming on Tuesdays. And he'd be here 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, whenever he got here, he was coming in to study. And I don't know how much he was able to retain. There is something in that. I think people, I don't try to get into the motives of why people show up. Sometimes people come to learn what they already know. And some show up just to show up. But it seems to me that at least on the outward, because I can't look at his heart, that at 90, he didn't know it all. So he wanted to show up and continue to learn. Wow. You know, on college campuses, they say that freshmen are the ones who look the most intimidated on campus because they're new. And then the ones who look the most nervous are seniors. But the ones who know it all are sophomores. Because 1 year on campus has taught them everything. I wish we had churches full of Brother Blairs who doesn't think that seniority of years has taught him everything that he needs to know. He continued to come, and I assume it was for the purpose of learning. So I certainly appreciate this brother. I appreciate his service, and it is not a stretch to be able to give a eulogy to Brother Blair. Such a man deserves a good word, and I certainly appreciate and respect his fellowship as a brother in the Lord. You know, Psalms 90, verse 10 says that the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. But Brother Blair reached into the 90s. So we would say, well, he was really blessed. And we would be right. And typically, if someone lives to be 80, 85, 90, 95 years, you know what our tendency is when we see them? Our tendency is to say, what's your secret? What's your secret for longevity? In fact, not only are we prone to ask, but there's a whole industry of health specialists. There's a whole regimen of diets, exercises that are promising longevity of life, long years. That's what they promise, how to live longer and how to live healthier. And basically what they're claiming is that they have discovered the secret to longevity. And everybody wants longevity. Everyone, and you know, that's the interesting thing, that as many diets and as many exercise regimens and as many herbal, you know, regimens that are developed for people to live longer and healthier, there's always going to be, there's going to be customers. In fact, it's interesting here in the state of Florida, you know, in St. Augustine, which is the oldest city in America, you know why it was founded? It was founded by Ponce de Leon in search of the fountain of youth. Because men want to live longer. They want to live longer, and then if they're going to live longer, they want to live healthy. And that's a good goal. It's not, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think there are two basic reasons for men wanting to live long. First reason is given to us in Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. The writer says this, that God has put eternity in our hearts. Some translations would have it, he has put eternity in our breasts. And what that means is that God has placed within the hearts of every image bearer of God, he has placed within us a yearning for eternity. The reason being is God created us to be eternal. He created us to be eternal. I hear people say all the time that, you know, we were born to die. No, you weren't. No, there's a reason. I'll explain why you died, but you weren't born to die. You were born for eternity. And even though we are disconnected from our overall created purpose, the yearning for eternity remains within us. And so the yearning for eternity that resonates in the breast of every image bearer of God is one of the reasons we reach for longevity. But that's coupled with something else. You see, not only do we have eternity in our breast, but we are also very much conscious of death. Now, I know it's the white elephant in the room that we don't like to talk about, but we're conscious of it. In fact, it's interesting that we have such a weird, sometimes superstitious relationship to death that even when we come to funerals, people say, "Oh, I'm not at a funeral." Yes, you are. There's a corpse. It's not a party. Yeah, you're at a funeral. And we are conscious of death. We know that people die. We wish we didn't know it. It's not our first funeral. And if it is, it won't be your last. We are all guaranteed to be at least at one funeral. And that's yours. We are conscious of death. We know that as days turn into years, we know that our bodies are winding down. We long for eternity, but we are conscious of death. We know that our years mean, the passing years means deterioration both of body and mind. We know that steps slow down. We know that our years are winding down. Look at your medicine cabinet. You know that we are winding down. Our bodies don't function like they used to, and we slow down, we change, but yet we yearn for eternity. So in essence, we, even though we know that we are dying and that death is inevitable, I think this is where the difficulty comes in. This is where the formulas, this is where the secrets come in. We want to live. God has placed eternity in our breast, but we are conscious of death. Therefore, we settle for longevity. God created us for eternity, but we know we die. So since we know we die, we'll settle for longevity. And if we're going to live long, then we want to live healthy. And we figure that live, enjoy life, and then die. But God didn't create us to live, enjoy life, and then die. And then here's the question that surfaces. If we were created for eternity, then why are we haunted by the specter of death? If God has placed eternity in our breast, then why do we have to deal with the reality of death? And the answer to that is sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." Romans 6, 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So here's the problem. God has placed eternity in our breast, but we as sinners are hindered from that eternity because of sin. So here's the secret we need to learn. Not the secret of how to live long. See, we are celebrating Brother Blair. And I do honor this brother for long years. We do honor him for his longevity. He was 92 years old. And when I went to go visit him in the hospital in his last stay, and he looked up and he called me by name. If you walk in the room, I might not call you by name, but he called me by name. We do commend this brother for 92 years. Everybody won't live to be 92. But here's what we also celebrate this brother for. And here's where we rejoice with him. is that he learned, he couldn't give you the secret. And you know, that's the funny thing. Everybody wants to give the secret of how to live a long life. George Burns says, smoke at least 2 cigars a day, and that'll do it. How do we live a long life? The truth of the matter is Brother Blair could not tell you how to reach 92. Number one, it's outside of his pay grade. That's not part of his job description. His job description was never to give people the secret to longevity. Nobody has it. And anyone who thinks they do is a liar. Okay, because God has appointed our days. And there's no regimen and there's no diet that goes beyond the days that God has appointed. Brothers and sisters, Brother Blair couldn't give you the secret to how to live to be 90. But he did have something that's not so secret. He couldn't tell you how to live to be 90, but he could tell you how to live forever. Brothers and sisters, as great as longevity is, it's a pale substitute for eternity. God did not put longevity in our breasts. He put eternity. And so therefore, in scriptures, I want to work to one particular statement from the words of Jesus. You see, people had a problem, and the 11th chapter of John is where we want to look at. But people, because we are conscious of death, then we are looking for anything that can keep us from dying. And so it's interesting that in John chapter 11, that when Jesus shows up, and you know the story about Lazarus, and he was a friend of Jesus, and his sisters, he gotten sick, and the sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, your friend, is sick, would you come, and so forth. And Jesus, you know, he gets the message, he just doesn't show up, and he keeps waiting, and then finally the word comes to him that Lazarus has died. And then Martha sees him showing up after Lazarus has not only been dead, but he's been 4 days buried. And then Martha sees Jesus show up. And you can tell she's got a little, her jaws are a little tight. You know, she's happy to see Jesus, but she ain't all that happy. She does have an issue. And she says to Jesus, if you had been here, then he would not have died. And because we want to avoid death, if we can, we overlook this whole sin issue. And if we can just live forever, we want to live forever. And so Martha sees Jesus and said, if you had shown up, now the grave has been sealed. Now he's buried, and we can't get to him. If you had just shown up, and Jesus, do you believe that he'll, I know he'll live again, but if you had shown up, he wouldn't have died. Later when Jesus goes to the grave, and the people are standing around, shortest verse in the Bible is verse 35, Jesus wept. Our English word wept doesn't do that justice. The word actually is like a snorting out of a war horse. It's like an angry wailing out. And Jesus is angry. And so the people who are gathered around, they look at him and say, oh, well, he was a friend. And then someone says this with the same mentality of Martha. They said, you know what? He's around here opening up blind eyes. What, he can't bring him back? He couldn't have kept him from dying? He opened up blind eyes, and he can't stop death. Here's the secret. The secret that Brother Blair has. Here's the secret, and it's found in the words of Jesus. Jesus, in verse 25 of chapter 11, he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Both of those are important. Jesus as the resurrection and Jesus as the life. John is obsessed with this idea of eternal life in Jesus and life being connected to Jesus. In his prologue in chapter 1, he speaks of Jesus as being the eternal Word of God. And then he says, and in him was light, his was life, and that life was the light of men. John is the one who tells us in John chapter 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not die, but have everlasting life. John is obsessed with life and connecting it to Jesus. In John chapter 10, it was Jesus who says that he came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. John tells us at the end of his gospel that the reason that he wrote what he wrote and omitted what he omitted is so that you would know that Jesus is the Messiah, and in believing you would have everlasting life. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. And then he says, and the resurrection. And boy, there's much that could be picked from there, which we won't address. But here's the statement that catches me. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he makes this statement. He says, they shall never die, so do you believe this? Brother Blair could not teach you how to live to be 90, but he knew the secret to living forever. And here is the answer and the secret, not to longevity, but to eternity. Believe in Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? To believe in Jesus is to believe, first off, that you are a sinner. By sinner, what that means is you have violated God's law and you're not able to A, keep it, and B, you're not able to atone for your missing it. So to believe in Jesus is to believe you need someone to do for you what you can't do for yourself. What you need is someone who can obey and someone who can pay. You need someone to obey God's law and you need someone to pay the penalty. So here's why we believe in Jesus. Here's what it means. It means to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is eternal and God is holy and God is omnipotent and God is omniscient, and there was never a time when God was not, but he has an eternal Son? Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is that Son? And somebody might say, well, I don't know. But do you believe? And understand this. Do you believe that at a point in time and space, God sent his Son to be born of a woman? It's inconceivable that God would condescend and become flesh. It is inconceivable that the creator and source of life would become a nursing baby at another woman's breast. But do you believe that baby Jesus was the eternal Son of God made flesh? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he walked dirty streets? Do you believe that he obeyed God's law in thought, word, and deed? Here's what we're used to saying. We're used to saying nobody's perfect, but do you believe Jesus is? Do you believe that everything God has required of you has been met in him? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when he hung on the cross, it was more than the Roman officials that were getting their last word in? This wasn't a Roman execution. This was a divine execution. Do you believe that even though he was offered up by the hands of sinful men, that it was all holy, almighty God who was now at the bar of justice reckoning his wrath upon unbelievers? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God sacrificed him on the altar of the cross? Do you believe that justice was completely and absolutely satisfied in his death? Do you believe that the Father looked away from him so that he could look upon you. Do you believe that God is paying out in the blood of Jesus the debt that you owed and could not pay? Do you believe that? Do you believe? Do you believe that they took him off of that cross and put him in a grave? He didn't pay for it. He borrowed it. He borrowed the grave. Do you believe that? And do you believe that 3 days later, when they were going to anoint that body, that they came and discovered it was empty? Do you believe? Do you believe that the seal was broken? Do you believe the stone was rolled away? Do you believe? Do you believe that he was seen by his disciples and over 500 people at one time? Do you believe that? Do you believe that 40 days later, that the Father sent down a taxi cab of clouds and received him back into his presence? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that right now he's got some work to do? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you believe? Do you believe that his hands are wounded? Do you believe that he's got wounds in his side? Do you believe that? Do you believe that one day he's coming back again? Well, if you believe that, then here's what you have. You don't have long life. You've got eternal life. Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, you will not die. And if he dies, you'll live again. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. Let me show you what I mean. Where's the grave? Where is that grave? Lazarus, come on out. Lazarus, come forth. Because I am the life. I am the resurrection. If anyone believes in that, you'll never die. And even if you die, you'll live again. Not a long time. Not a long time. But for eternity. The greatest joy, the greatest thing that can be said about Brother Blair is not that he lived long, but he lives eternally. Do you? That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, do you believe that? Let's pray. Gracious, holy, wise, and just God, our Father, we come to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to you once again in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. We're not afraid because you're with us. Your promises are with us. But as we walk with this family through this valley, we pray that we would look beyond the obvious, and that our hearts would be set aflame with the trustworthiness of your word, that though this brother be absent from us, he is present with you. And we who shared his belief will likewise find such final and ultimate joy in resting in you. Let this be our guide. Yes, sir. Let this be our hope. And let this be our comfort. We do pray for those who are present, those who do believe, and those who do not. We pray before that inescapable and inevitable moment comes, that they too would come to know and believe. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.